Video Game Decipher, the story behind your favorite video games. Episode 2. In this episode, we'll be taking a look at Halo 4's first playable campaign level, Dawn. Also in the episode, we'll be taking a look at NVIDIA's new entry into the game system called Project Shield, which runs on Android. Halo 4 was released on November 6th and is definitely a contrast to the previous Halo games, because it has many changes in a variety of aspects. You have more control over the game, and it seems as if you're Master Chief instead of it seeming as though you're controlling him. To begin with, in the first part of the level, John 117, or the Master Chief, he's awakened by Cortana after unknown activity on the ship. Basically, John, he was in cryo after a forward unto Dawn remained back in space after the other half, which carried the Arbiter, went back to Earth. And it's been 4 years since he's been awakened, so he's still surprised that no humans have found out or responded to the beacon that they've dropped. So basically, Cortana, she's upgraded the Master Chief's firmware. You have a new playing environment, you have new power-ups in the game, including unlimited sprint. So now you have basically two power-ups, the sprint, which is unlimited, as well as an additional power-up, which can include the new shield, as well as different other abilities. So John finds out that the Covenant are searching the ship, and he discovers that an entire Covenant fleet is assaulting the Dawn. So he basically comes to know about this once he fights with an elite who tries to kill him, and he wonders what happened to the treaty that, or truce, that they signed with the Covenant. So basically, a lot has changed since 4 years, and John, well, he basically has another problem on his hand as well. The forward unto Dawn is being pulled into a planet called Requiem. So he has two problems. One, he has to try fighting the Covenant, and the second problem is that he has to escape from the Dawn before it's pulled into the Forerunner planet Requiem. So Cortana, in order to ward off the Covenant, directs him to fire the hyper-ion missiles, but unluckily for the Chief, the missiles, they require a manual launch due to some damage. So eventually he does get to the missiles, and he manually launches them. And the level, well, it paves the way into the Chief's journey onto the Forerunner planet Requiem, because he fails to escape from the Forward into Dawn in time. So the planet basically sucks them up. And once you go into the next level, you're basically witnessing a whole bunch of dying Covenant, and you yourself are all battered up. So the level, in this level, there are a number of hidden objects and things you can find. One thing that you can find at the starting of the level is a terminal, and the terminal is located just under the staircase in the starting of the level. And the terminal basically talks about the Master Chief's involvement in the previous Halos and what he's done. It basically just gives you a recap of what's happened in the previous Halos. And there's also a sword that can be found at the end of the game, which is being sucked into Requiem's gravity well, but basically the level, it's really not much of use because the Covenant aren't going to try fighting you much. And that's it for the first level. It's a pretty small level, but it's really fun to play around with. Especially the part where the Master Chief, he goes into a room and he finds himself falling. You have to climb up the whatever wall of the forward into Dawn. There's a lot of parts of the game where you feel as though you're the Master Chief. That's the place where the game is really improved on. In the previous versions of Halo, it was basically just well, an RPG, a normal RPG, but now you can witness all the events that the Master Chief takes part in. For example, you have to open up the cryo by activating a button. The animation shows him opening the cryo using his hands. Now, that's something that was absent in the previous Halos, and something that's really welcome into the new game. Another thing that I feel should have been implemented into the Halo game is Kinect support, but I guess it was too difficult to implement such a feature into Halo, because if you have Kinect, you would definitely need a lot of different movements and actions to control the weapons, the grenades, the movements, whatever, etc. So basically, I don't find it that surprising, because in Halo Combat Evolved Anniversary Edition, there were only voice commands, and I guess Kinect implementation to such a game is really difficult. Another thing I would like to talk about in Halo 4 is basically the notion that it is a beta version of the game. So there are many features and features, especially in multiplayer, which you feel are still kind of glitchy. One thing I find glitchy is the matchmaking. It's happened about twice so far. When you go to the matchmaking multiplayer like menu and you try to select a game mode, like a whole list appears empty. Now, that's definitely a bug, and you have a whole bunch of other bugs in the game still seems to be in a beta mode, and that's surprising, especially because Microsoft hasn't released a beta version as they did for Halo Reach and, well, the other versions of the game. Overall, I think the Halo 4 experience will be fun. I've finished playing about 3 levels, and I'm on the 3rd level, which is the Forerunner, I guess? Yeah, the Forerunner level, where you witness a new breed of aliens called the Prometheans, and it's basically a very fun experience. The graphics are amazing. They've improved from the previous versions of Halo, so it's actually really fun. If you still haven't started playing Halo 4, I recommend that you buy the game immediately and start playing. It's definitely an improvement. And another feature that you notice being different from the previous Halo is 2 DVDs included in the case. One DVD is the campaign, the other is the multiplayer, which you have to install onto the Xbox. So you require an 8GB flash drive for that, or if you have a hard disk, you can use the hard disk as well. I have the Kinect Xbox bundle, so I required a 8GB flash drive. Not really that much to worry about. So that's all we have about Halo. Now let's go to NVIDIA's new gaming system called the Project Shield. And the NVIDIA gaming system has to compete against, well, the already dominating PlayStation, Xbox, and the new Wii U, which has been released recently. So it has a tough task ahead. Basically, it's an Android gaming system. It has an NVIDIA Tegra 4 chipset and a 5-inch 720p display attached to the controller. Basically, it's a screen attached to a controller, and it's not too heavy or bulky. It runs on Android, as I told you guys before, and it basically is an Android gaming system. It can stream it can stream PC games to itself, but the PC needs to have the same it needs to be on the same network, and also needs an NVIDIA GTX processor. This is expected to change once the NVIDIA Grid becomes available, which allows players to connect to the game streaming service anywhere. So basically, it's just a gaming system. The graphics that were shown at the recent, I think CES, as it's called, Consumer Electronics Showcase. Well, the graphics that the NVIDIA Shield had were pretty amazing. They were comparable to PC game graphics, and I guess it's something that can be expected to replace the PlayStation Portable or Nintendo DS or whatever those Nintendo 3DS. So it's something like that. It comes with an HDMI port, a USB port, a headset jack, and micro SD card, so you have lots of expansion on the back. It's expected to be available in the second quarter of 2013, but the only downside with it, as is with all gaming systems, is that it only works with Tegra-based games, so it'll only work with games which are based for the system. So there's a lot of potential in the system, the NVIDIA Project Shield. It's expected to dominate, it's expected to at least gain market in video game market, already dominated by the big three systems. So we can expect a lot from it because it's an Android-based gaming system. So as it has Android, you have a whole bunch of other functionality with it. You can expand it, you can program with it much more easily than the game systems. As Android is open source, you can gain access to its codes, and you can do a lot with the game system. So it's basically, it's basically something to look forward to in 2013. Another thing that you can expect is the release of the Xbox 720 and the PlayStation 4, as they're so called. And these two gaming systems are releasing after a very wide gap. I think it's one of the biggest gaps in the release cycle. Now basically you can expect better graphics in these game systems and probably a new body design. Not really much information about them as of now. If I get any information, I'll tell you about it in the next episode of Video Game Decipher. So that's all for this episode. Hope you enjoyed the show. If you have any doubts or you want to ask any questions, please email me at vgamedecipher@gmail.com. You can also follow our Twitter account at twitter.com/vgamedecipher. And you can also follow our Facebook page. You can also visit our blog at vgamedecipher.wordpress.com and subscribe to our podcast on iTunes. So that's all for this episode of Video Game Decipher. You can expect an episode next week about Halo 4's new multiplayer feature, custom loadouts, and new maps. And we'll also be talking to a guest on our show about how the custom loadouts can be manipulated in a way to benefit yourself, and some of the best custom loadouts. Thanks for listening to this episode, and see you until next time.